honor you, Lord God, and we glorify your holy name. God, we thank you that you are in us and your kingdom is among us. And it gives glory to your name for your people to walk in health and to walk in all of the provision of the kingdom. If you're sick this morning, you're not feeling well, maybe you're afflicted with some kind of disease or some kind of ailment, would you just slip up your hand? I'm not going to ask you to come up forward. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. Can you hold it up for just a minute? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Those of you around them, would you just go and lay your hand on them now?
We have one up here too.
And up here as well, if you would just lay your hand on them and pray for them that they would be healed in Jesus' name. Prophesy over them. Just pray and speak what the Lord has given. Thank you, Lord. See, it brings glory to God when His people are healed, when His people are whole, when His people are walking in prosperity in every measure. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Wholeness, wholeness. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That was half my sermon right there. Glory be to God. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you in the name of Jesus. Did you have something? Did you have something? No. Yeah.
You know, God's always doing a new thing, and sometimes the old thing is the new thing.
That's right.
You ever noticed that? But the old thing's good. Anyway, I was seeing an open door. I was seeing an openness, and I wanted to pray over us that we would have a spirit of openness over our hearts. Father, that all chains would be broken and that every closed door would be open to us, because, Father, we have the keys.
Glory
and we know who the door is. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, I just pray over every broken dream, every heartbreak, every season that seems to have been stunted and shunted away.
Glory be to God.
Father, I pray right now that there's an open season for the flow of the Spirit. Now, I thank you, Lord, that open doors are set before us that no man can shut. And now, Father, I decree new eyes to see in the heavenly realms those things that you've set before and brought before us down into that earthly realm for us to obtain. For, Father, you said the blessing doesn't just come upon us, it overtakes us.
Glory be
to God. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who overwhelms above and beyond what we can ask and think.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
To you be all the glory, Lord. Amen. Glory. Hey, Karen, is the Hebrew year we're in now mean open door?
Yes.
Yeah. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Everybody well?
Yeah.
Doing good. Loving this never-ending winter? Okay. I'm going to continue today with kingdom, honor, and authority. Kingdom, honor, and authority. And by the way, we just made a few little changes with our CD production. If you're wanting a copy of any of our services on CD, you're welcome to them. They're free. We don't charge anything for them. However, we're not going to just be automatically making CDs any longer. We have a podcast, with an iTunes account, and a podcast. They'll be on a podcast, if you don't understand that, talk to Matt, because I can't explain it. Other than it's an electronic deal. You know, if you have an iTunes account or can access it on your phone or by iPad or computer somehow and get on and grab the podcast, you can actually download it. Carry it with you if you so choose to. However, we understand that a lot of people don't have computer access and those kinds of things. So we still have the ability to produce CDs. If you want a CD, just go to the back and ask them, and they'll produce you one. If you're wanting one like every week, just on a normal thing, just let them know that too. So they'll produce one for you, and you'll have it. Did I make that as clear as really dirty mud? Is that good? Okay. Well, last week, it was an interesting gathering we had last week together, and the Lord demonstrated to us, and you know, Jesus is a master at examples and demonstration, and I love how the Father even says that, you know, he doesn't just tell us that he loves us, he demonstrated his love. He always demonstrates. We have the opportunity to have encounters with the living God. It's not just, you know, words on a page or stories that we've heard from old. He's alive. He's well. He's moving. He's on the throne and nobody's knocking him off. And he's in ultimate control. And he's given a lot of authority to us as his people. And this whole, last week when he was demonstrating, part of what I wanted to talk about last week as well, was the very first land or place that God has given every human being authority over is our own life, our own bodies. And to take that authority over our lives, we don't have to take just whatever happens to us, whatever sickness, whatever disease comes our way. We don't have to receive that. Maybe I'm in a different congregation this morning. I'm not sure. I'm going to look at the sign on the building. But kingdom, honor, and authority. The reason why, the main reason, I really feel like the Lord wants us to really get into this. And I'm gonna share some stories from my own life eventually. We're going to take several weeks as the Lord leads through this to really get into honor. And last week and the week before were just commercials for it. This week is still going to be a commercial for it before we really get into some of the nuts and bolts of honor and authority. But the main reason I believe the Lord wants us to really grab hold of this and understand how honor and how authority works in the kingdom is so we can walk in a greater measure of authority. And it's going to be required for the things that are coming on the earth, for the things that are already on the earth, that are coming, that are in just in our society and culture and around the world. We're going to have to walk in a greater dimension of authority. If our minds, one of the things I think that it's a difficult concept, especially for North Americans, specifically United States, Americans, have a difficult time grasping how authority functions in the kingdom is because we have a democratic mindset. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is not democratic. I mean, we have a king. He's king. What he says goes. You know, in heaven, when Lucifer rose up and took a third of the angels, it didn't last long. When there was a rebellion, it didn't last long. This didn't go on for weeks and years, and the angels were huffing and puffing. No, when there was rebellion, it was over with. God is king, and he is king over his domain, kingdom. He is not subject to opinion polls. He's not subject to democratic voting. If we just don't decide we don't like something in the Bible, we can't just gather and just, you know, hey, we're just going to vote that out, which, by the way, I did. No, it came out of my Bible, but I didn't just use that. Yeah, I didn't like that page. It's out. And so we have to really renew our minds on what kingdom is, and that we are serving a king. And as I mentioned the first week, when I joined the military, I thought I was going in for one reason and found out, and I really found out even sometime afterwards, that there was a whole other reason God wanted me to go to the military, and that was to learn how authority functioned. It's amazing how the way authority functions in the United States military is very, very, very similar to the way authority functions in the kingdom of God. I learned immediately, I didn't learn this until the day I got there, that I do not belong to myself any longer. I was United States government property. And that's not just a funny thing to say, it's the absolute fact. And when you give your life to the Lord and you come into the kingdom, you don't belong to yourself any longer. And in the military, they'll tell you what hairstyle to have, what uniform and clothes to put on, and even when to put them on. What to eat, when to get up, when to sleep, everything. You're not your own any longer. We've got two young men over here going to, I thought I saw Nathan, going to the Marines. You leave April, is that right? In April? God bless you. Send postcards. We'll be praying because you will need it. And so the very first thing the Lord wants us to learn to take authority over is really our own life and our own bodies. A lot of what I'm going to talk about is principles. Principle of authority. A lot of times, like, that word authority can really put people on the defensive. I'm not speaking on this to try to get anybody to do what I want out of control or manipulation. What I want and what I desire is that we all align with the Lord and that we all learn to honor him and that we all learn his authority and that we function with his authority so we can walk in a greater measure of authority. Amen. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. What does that mean? One who has some character is better than the mighty. Look at the second part. And he who rules his own spirit is better than he who captures a city. See, the first land is our own life. I don't believe that we even have a right to try to take our city if we can't control ourselves. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by power nor or not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." You know the term Lord of hosts, and we've gone over this many times, means commander of an army, or Lord, or master of an army. God refers to himself more often as a Lord of hosts, a commander of an army, than any other term. And it's so foreign in Christendom, in church circles, to even think of ourselves as an army and as God as a commander. But that's the term he chose to use of himself more often. He is developing among family, among Christ-like character, but he's also developing an army. I'm counting in my head how many amen, so that will tell me how many people I have with me going in the same direction. And I want to speak some of the things I want to just kind of go back from the 2 weeks ago, just to kind of rehearse a little bit as we move on. But here's two scriptures I shared. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." What is honor? Respect. That's very good. What else is honor? I heard obedience and loyalty. Is that right? Is that what I heard? When you honor somebody or honor God, you are placing a high value on them, which would be respecting them. You are counting them worthy. And that scripture here says honor all people. It doesn't matter how young, how old, how insignificant according to the world's standards they seem. It's honoring all people. It's valuing each other. It's respecting one another. And I showed, before I do that, let's go to the next scripture. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." In Mark 6:1-6, it talks about when Jesus went to his own hometown. You remember this scripture? And they began to question him. In other words, they were not honoring him. And because they weren't honoring him, the Bible says that Jesus could not, didn't say he didn't want to, he was hindered from doing any miracle. Honor opens the door of life to receive from the gift of God. When we dishonor, it shuts the door. I'm not going over all that much because we already did that with this scripture, but you ought to look at that. Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. We see this a lot of times even in congregational settings, that we'll see, and I've seen this over the years, that oftentimes that there'll be very few, if any, really miracles happen from week to week in a congregation. But you bring somebody from the outside and a guest speaker in, and all of a sudden, it's interesting to watch the dynamics. People begin to honor somebody that they don't even really know and respect them. And what happens is the anointing that's on their life is now, that honor opened up the door to be able to receive what God has given that individual for that congregation. You'll see miracles and signs and wonders and prophecies and all kinds of things happen. I've seen this go into other countries. But we have such a lawless society in our culture and such a rebelliousness that and a lack of honor in all of it. I mean, look at our music. Look at everything in our culture that is happening. And it's being bred. I mean, look at some of these, you know, these music non-stars, as far as I'm concerned, and the things that they're doing and the lack of honor that they even give to their own created being. And they're selling albums and music and making millions of dollars, and people are paying big sums to go watch them do this. And dishonor shuts the door. You know, one of the things that we need to learn to live by is live by life. What is life and what is death? See, we've been so focused, I think, so often on living by what is right and what is wrong. And that's not all that bad. But learning to live by what gives life. See, Jesus, the Lord said, I set before you today life and death. Choose life. Choose what gives life. And I think we'll see a big difference in our lives if we begin to make decisions in our lives based on what is giving life and not death versus what is right and what is wrong. Because too often what we do is we base what is right and what is wrong on our own family upbringing, our own culture, our own thoughts, our own desires. I want to get into something this morning. If you're a young person and you live at home, scoot really close to your parent. And parents, if your young person's here, scoot close to them. I think we got some chores to talk about later. So. Here's a good scripture right here. Let's look at this one. Is it coming up? It is not. I don't know. I'm having all kinds of issues here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. If you have a Bible, would you open it? No, I'm tapping it, but it's not coming up for some reason. That scripture does, but there's probably some teenagers or some young people praying. It's that one. See, I... Oh, hey. See, it takes a parent to get this one going. Children, obey. That is a wonderful word in our North American vocabulary, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. I didn't even hear a parent saying amen on that. Amen. Let's define a child. Are you living under the roof of your parents? If you're living under the roof of your parents, you're a child. We got that? Obey your parents in the Lord. What does that mean? We're gonna visit this a little later too, this principle, but it's very, very important. If you're at home and you're a child and your parents are telling you to steal, you don't have to steal. You don't have to be obedient to that. If they're telling you to lie, you don't have to be obedient to that. Why? Somebody tell me why. We are to always obey the highest authority in our life as far as it is written. As far as it is written. And we know that God says we are not to lie. We're not to steal. But in all other things, we are, as children, to obey our parents. Honor your father and mother. What does this mean? Respect, value. How many of you young people value and honor and respect your parents? Get them up. Come on, get them up. Kevin, man, he was the first one. I just want to let you guys know, Kevin shot that arm straight up. Here is another verse. What I really want to show is not just to hammer on parents or young people, but I want to show you from the Word in just at least a few scriptures the blessing and the openness, the door that is open through the simple process of honoring. Notice what this says. If you honor your father and mother, your life will go well. It's not just from your parents that your life will go well. It's from God. Amen. His blessing is on the life that gives honor. And that you may live long on the earth. Honor opens up the doorway for life. And for that life to be lived in abundant manner. The abundant life, that honor. Dishonor shuts that down. We can read this backwards. If you do not obey your parents, as in the Lord, or honor your father and mother, it won't go well with you. I don't want to die. Well, I was going to say 40. I'm already past it. Go up to, yeah. We'll just move on. Now, young people, you can breathe for a second. And I want to talk to parents for just a minute. If you're not teaching your child to be obedient and to honor, you're hindering their relationship with the Lord. You are propelling them into life crippled. If you are not teaching your children, and this is not, you know, God doesn't instruct us to be obedient with a heavy hand. He does it through the medium of love. He doesn't force it. He doesn't try to be controlling nor manipulative. But he does it through love, that we love him. But we'll see, you know, when kids are born, when child is born, we'll see the results or the consequences, is probably a better word, of that sin nature that's in them. And as parents, one of the jobs of parents is to teach them to be Christ-like, to honor God and to love God and to have a relationship with God. And when you allow them to be disobedient to you, when you allow them to be dishonorable. And let me tell you, when you start, the younger you start, the easier it is. You wait till they're 14, 15, 16 years old, now you've got a really big job. Matter of fact, God bless you. But you are, if you're not teaching your child to be obedient and to give honor, not only to you, but honor to all authorities, their teachers, when you allow them to come home and talk raunchily, if that's a word, about their teacher or their coach or anybody, you are hindering them in their walk with the Lord. You are helping to breed a lawlessness and a rebelliousness in them. When you allow them to play video games that do the same thing. I mean, it's just, isn't it shocking some of you that are a little older, like my generation, even older, what they show on TV these days? I mean, the dishonoring to authorities, it's like, this is our culture. Do this. Live like this. What's that cartoon thing that guy so, I can't even believe it's been on for so many years. The Simpsons. They glorify being an underachiever and a disrespect. And how long has this thing been on? Over a decade? It's been on for a long. And when we watch our movies, the disrespect that young people have toward their parents in TV shows and in movies, It's just astounding. I still work in the school district, have for almost 15 years. I see this in the school district over and over. Don't you, Debbie? You see it on the... And how it's even allowed. It's almost like it's an acceptable thing. The music, the TV shows, the movies, the books. And if you're allowing your friends to hang out, your kids to hang out with friends that are disrespectful and disobeying, you're still breeding right into that. It's quiet in here. Let's go over Malachi 1, 6 through 7. I'm still in commercial mode, by the way. You might think, oh God, if that's commercial. You know, Malachi 1, 6 through 7 here says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is my honor? I like listening to Rush Limbaugh. I don't know how many of you do, but I do. But that man can be so disrespectful and dishonoring of authority at times. And the parodies that he makes, I just have to shut it off when that happens. I mean, I don't care who the person is, what minister, what who, but when they become so dishonoring and disrespectful, I'm just going to tell you plainly, I don't like our president. But I don't have to like him. I have to pray for him, and I have to honor the office that he's in. One of the things I learned when I was in the military, and I learned it very, very quickly, I didn't like a lot of people that were in office. I didn't like a lot of people I had to salute. And they didn't care. And learning to honor and obey people you don't like is a big, big stumbling block to many. And if we don't learn it, we're not going to advance in the kingdom. He's not going to release authority to us. I just stepped out of commercial mode, but I'm going to come back. See, all authority comes from God, and Jesus is the author, which is the root word of authority, of all of our faith. And we'll notice even from Mark 1 through 6, or chapter 6, the scripture I gave when Jesus went to his own hometown, that because of dishonor, dishonor stopped faith, which also hindered miracles, signs, wonders, and healings. When you dishonor somebody, you do not receive from them. And Jesus said this. He said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. It's not the reward that prophet gets in heaven. It's the reward God wants to give you through that prophet. If you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you'll get what God is giving him through you. If you don't receive it, you'll see this dynamic. It's just amazing how it works. It's just amazing. It works in congregations. See, some of you sitting here, you probably already shut me out. You're not going to receive it. Others are receiving it. And they'll learn and they'll grow through that. And they'll, you know, chew the hay and spit out sticks. But others that don't, they just shut it off. You don't receive, see? God can be walking right down the road, down Main Street, and there's going to be some people that receive and some won't. We saw this with Jesus while he was here. Some people honored him and respected him. And it doesn't have to be a great amount of honor and roll out the red carpet and, you know, fall on your, all this. It's just the respect and the honor, and there's just an openness right there. You know, and what's sad in our human dynamics with parents and with children is you don't really, when you're a child, you don't, most of the time, we don't really learn that our parents had any smarts at all until we're in our 20s. I think it's probably now 30s, but we didn't receive or respect or honor and receive from them like we could have. Then if I am a father, where's my honor? If I am a master, where's my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. And you say, how have we defiled you? And that you say that the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there be one among you, my words, shut the doors to the church, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. Again, I'm not saying this to our congregation as a condemning thing, like a prophetic word. I'm just reading what the Word of God says when it talks about honor. Now, he's telling people in the Old Testament, when you're bringing the blind and the lame and the sick to offer to God, how does that relate to us today? Because we, thank God, we don't bring animals to, you know, our gathering on Sunday. And, I mean, I just couldn't take it. I'm such an animal lover. It's just, yeah, Brian. You're not bringing your best. That's very good. That's very good. You're not bringing your best to the Lord. You're bringing leftovers. What else? I see we may not have really contemplated this. Yes. Oh, tithing, giving?
Well, I don't know, whatever we're giving.
Oh, okay.
Whatever the afterthought is, it's just an afterthought. It's not a primary first love.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, very good.
It's like someone slapped you and said, oh, yeah, I needed that. Well, you shouldn't have had to
need it. Yeah, very good. So when we have a garage sale, you bring your trash to it instead of something that's worth selling. It just came to mind. I don't know. Yeah, it just came to mind. as an illustration. Pam. Yeah. Amen. Very good. Let's do Russ, since you already jumped. Let's talk about honor again.
It's really working on honor with me.
Yeah, that's good. What else? Does anybody else have an illustration, Brian? Yeah. Yeah, very good. That's awesome. Yeah, Rhonda.
I think of the sacrifice of Jesus was the pure spotless lamb, and then the sacrifice of Isaac, where that was his child, and that meant the world to him. He gave every, not just a portion, but all.
Yeah.
The sacrifice of the other child.
Yep. Very good. Awesome. Yeah, Marie.
Every good gift comes from love. We've got to remember that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm just going to, real quickly, we're probably going to touch on this again because I think it's a very, very, very important aspect of our walk with the Lord. But I think of a couple different areas. And I'm just going to use an example from my own life, what happened to me as one, and then we're going to probably move on. But When I first got born again and I was being taught about giving money and the whole tithing thing, and I'll just say this, some of you haven't heard me say this, I do not believe in tithing because tithing means 10%. I believe that under the New Testament, 100% belongs to God. It all does. And if we don't have that mindset, then what we do is we just give 10% of our time. I did enough. No, it's everything. We do not belong to ourselves anymore. But as I was learning about giving, and Renee can testify, which she won't, I hope, I was I didn't want to give. I didn't, you know, money was it was mine. I was very selfish and had a very hard time with that whole concept. And then I actually became a youth pastor and I still had that very hard concept. And the Lord spoke to me one time and said, I want you to teach on tithing. I was like, oh man, I'm going to have a real problem here. Because I'm not, what I did, because I didn't like it at all, and Renee was always a giver. That's just who she is. And she tithed, and we've had so many arguments about it. I just gave up and I said, you do it. I don't want to see it. And I don't want to know about it, kind of a thing, right? I was just like, you just take care of it. So I was tithing, but my heart was wrong. And we looked at this scripture too. I believe it's Genesis chapter 4, when Cain and Abel both brought offerings to the Lord. Remember that story? And Cain's was not received by God. God rejected it. And I know that, you know, it's common to hear because of what he gave. See, God's not so concerned about what you give so much, because when your heart is changed, what the actual thing you give will be right. God's not concerned with the outward acts. He's concerned with the heart issue, the issue of the heart and the heart's condition. And so when our heart is right, then we give right. Cain's heart wasn't right, and we see this immediately, because as soon as God rejected what he gave, what happened? He got angry. He got mad, and he never dealt with it, and God came to him in mercy and said, if you'll deal with it, we'll work through this, you'll be fine. He never did, and that anger turned into murder, and that's the process. And we do that very same thing under the New Testament, is we'll hate people, we'll have bitterness towards one another, we'll have unforgiveness. Why do we not forgive people? One word. Pride. It's pride. What causes most problems in marriages, most problems with parents and their kids? It's pride. What causes most problems in congregations? It's pride. What keeps us in cycles of rejection, hurt, and wounding? It's pride. Pride is the very core sin that is the same common sin we all wrestle with. And it is a door. When we're operating in pride, because pride is the self-life, it's about me, it's how I want, how I feel, my way. And that's what Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to do this. This is not optional for just super Christians. You have to do this. You have to deny yourself. And you have to take up your cross. Taking up your cross isn't, you know, being under trial and all this stuff. What it was is a sign under the Roman law. That's why they made Jesus carry his cross, because it was just a symbol that you are submitting to the Roman authorities. And what Jesus is saying is you've got to deny yourself, what you want. You've got to lay down your life so I can what? Give you life. You have to lay down you being authoritative over your own life, making all your own decisions, and let me do that by picking up your cross and following me. See, that's not optional to follow Jesus and to be a disciple. That is the way. And so I had this issue with the giving because my heart wasn't right and Cain's heart wasn't right. And so then God says, you need to teach this. Now what am I going to do? I had to deal with my heart. I'll remember this like it was just yesterday. I was in the tub. Now, I don't want to bring in, I was in the tub and I had a jetted tub and it was going and I'm going through, still wrestling with this my heart had broken we have degrees sometimes, don't we? It's like, okay, well, it's broken. Well, I had this thought. Now, this is me. This is what God did with me. And I had this thought. And it does relate to giving God his very best. And I was like, okay, God, I'll tithe after taxes. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. This is what God spoke to me. Do you want your government to have the best or me? That's all he had to say. That's all he had to say. He knows how to do it, doesn't he? And see, today, what do we offer? Romans 12:1. Our whole bodies, our whole lives is a living sacrifice. And how we offer the heart's condition and how we honor God just opens up that doorway for blessing, for miracles, for God to work and to do things in our life. And there's a scripture, oh God, come to my mind. Karen, help me. I think it's in Proverbs. It says, before honor comes humility. Isn't that it? Before honor, is that it, Renee? Before honor comes humility. And I see that two ways. Before you're honored comes humility, but before honor, we must become humble. Because you know what? When we're prideful, we're not going to honor. Because it's not about the other person, it's about me. There's two scriptures. I'm going to close here in the next hour and a half. Praise God. Thank you, Debbie. That's all I needed to hear. Let's keep going. Since Debbie said that, let's blame her. Let's read this scripture together. How you have fallen, O heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have been weakened. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is an interesting scripture because it talks about two different people. It's talking about the king of Assyria, but it's also talking about Lucifer, Satan. Satan's defining character trait is pride. Hear this. Satan's defining character trait is pride. Jesus' defining character trait is humility. It's the complete opposite. When you see pride at work, hear this, the Antichrist spirit is at work. The man, the Antichrist, will come in pride. What you see going on a lot, and even in our nation, is pride at work. There's an Antichrist spirit at work. We'll talk about this later as well. But confidence looks like pride. And I'll say that backwards. Pride can appear to be confidence. And we'll know that Lucifer was the very first one that rose up in pride. What did he want? He desired honor. He desired what belonged to God for himself. He desired honor. He desired that worship and that praise. It was all about self. And in the most perfect environment, this is what really blows my mind. In the absolute most perfect environment of heaven, this happened. And he got a third. We don't know how many angels that is. That's probably a lot. I don't think I can count that high. But he got a third of the angels to follow him in this prideful movement. This is what he does on earth. This is what he does in marriages, what he does in families with kids. This is what he does in congregations, is he comes with the pride. And then what happens, especially in our culture, because we're so democratic, we're so free, we're individuals, and it's my rights, my rights, my rights. When you come into the kingdom, you gave up your rights. We really need to hit this hard because this is something I just feel so passionately about, especially right now in the time and the hour in which we live. Because since remember the statement, I've made this statement often, that if we're going to win the world, if we're going to come into a city, an area, region, or whatever, We have to come in an opposite spirit than what is operating there. We cannot come into our world with pride to fight pride. You're lost already. It's through humility. And humility doesn't mean being a doormat and just getting walked over. Jesus, when he came into the temple with a cord and started, you know, chairs, tables, money, stuff is flying around, that could have looked very prideful. But we know Jesus was the perfect embodiment of who God was and his and the humility. And so certain things can look and appear prideful, but they're not. Two scriptures in the New Testament, I'll close with this. And it says this about pride. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to anybody who is prideful. It doesn't say in that those two scriptures, I think it's in Galatians and Romans both, that God is opposed to the non-Christian that's prideful. To one who doesn't speak in tongues. No, he doesn't put anything on. It's any human being. His child, not his child, an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, it doesn't matter. He's opposed. You know what that means? He stands against you. I heard Francis Frangipane say this once, and he's a unity guy, and I don't know how many of you know anything about him, but he's one of my favorite authors. He's a unity guy, and he was called into this city one time. The group of pastors says, you know what, we're having problems. Can you come and help us with this unity and help us figure it out with unity? And this is what he said. He said, Satan is not your problem. He said, God's your problem. They were like, what? What do you mean God's our problem? God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It doesn't matter what work we're doing, if we're prideful people, God's opposed. Let's just take that for face value. God, that's what God said. I am opposed to those who are proudful. I stand against you. You think you got problems with the devil? You ain't got no problem. I mean, when God's against you. Huh? But here's the good part. He gives grace to the humble. Grace is God's enabling power for you to live a holy life. God's grace is his enabling power for you to do what you cannot do on your own. And when we're humble before God, his grace is poured out. And faith, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, by grace through faith, we are saved. Which means that through that channel of faith, I trust you, Lord, grace is now able to come. So when God's opposed to us and there's no grace, there's no enabling power, there's no faith either. But when we are walking in humility, he says, I will give grace to the humble. So grace, to be able to come, it has to come through a channel called faith. So our channel is connected. Grace is coming. And now we can walk in whatever God has called us to walk. We can do whatever God's called us to do. We can say whatever God says to say. We are empowered by God to fulfill the destiny God has given us. Amen? One last thing. Pains me to say this. We should take every opportunity in our life that comes to walk in humility. What makes us want to tell our boss off? Pride. This is one of the reasons why I really love honor and authority, the principle of it, because it directly confronts the pride in our life. And we should take every opportunity, and we'll have opportunities every day and all day long. Those opportunities to be offended. Why do we get offended, pride? Why do we get our feelings hurt, pride? It really is. It comes right down to that. Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you so much. for who you are, for your word. I pray for this congregation now, for those that are in this room and downstairs, God, that they would be filled with humility and filled with grace to be enabled and empowered to do what you've called them to do, to live that holy life, Lord God. And I speak a blessing on them, the blessing of God, that open door that as Karen prayed today, and that we're in that year of the open door, that that open door be above us and open in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Father, that the key of David would be released on your household. In Jesus' mighty name. And Father, you have called these to walk in a great amount of authority. That demons would flee at their voice and at their word. Father, we know that even Peter's shadow caused others to be healed and whole. That's a great amount of authority. And Father, we know, God, that's awaiting us now. That kind of miracles and power and wonders. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah.
On. You know, honor is such an awesome word, and honoring a boss or someone that you don't like is always available with God's grace because it's that enabling power. And it's really cool when God's grace comes through to allow you to honor those who are humble. And it's always more fun to me, although, you know, I'm always amazed that the Lord gives me the grace to honor those that maybe aren't humble or are operating in pride. But my spirit leaps when I get to honor someone and they are a humble person. So, Renee, could you come up here, please? Led right into it, Joe. You did awesome. We were going to do this on Wednesday, but this was kind of Cherie's birth and child, and she was sick Wednesday, and she's sick today, and we're getting too far away from Renee's birthday at this point. Renee celebrated a birthday yesterday, and we wanted to honor her, and it's always easy to do that because you are a humble person, and we love you, and so we have prepared a couple of things for you. This is a special box for you, and it says, "Happy birthday, Renee. God chose this special day for you to be born. You are his precious handiwork, and we love you because." And inside of this box are slips of paper from your friends and your family that love you that answer that question. So I'm going to let you read those later when you have a box of Kleenex. There you go. Okay. So that's one way we want to honor you. The next way we want to honor you is that the wonderful person behind me is going to lead us in singing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Renee. Happy birthday.
And the last way we would like to honor her is, some of you may not know this, most of you do. Renee is a very clean, healthy, living person. So we have prepared an organic feast out in the hallway that you all can participate in before lunch. And you know, what's wonderful about it is that it's all healthy for you and it's all good for you. So please take a minute, celebrate with her and help yourself to the wonderful organic feast out in the hallway. Thank you. Aw,
Thank you all so much. I mean, that what a surprise. And I do feel so honored. And honey, it's Proverbs 15:33, humility comes before honor.